But on the line now, I have independent senator Colette Kelleher. Good morning, or good afternoon, Colette.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for taking the call. We're going to talk about you did issued a research report, and the heading is "Government Using Constitution as Excuse to Block Housing Reform."
I asked the Oireachtas Library and Research Service to do an analysis of various bills and housing legislation that have been proposed, particularly in the last 3 years of this minority government. And the question I asked them was the extent to which the government was blocking pieces of good legislation from going forward and using the Constitution as an excuse for blocking the kind of radical housing reforms that we need. We have 10,000 people and more currently homeless. Almost 4,000 of those are children. We're condemning those children to, you know, a terrible, terrible present, but also robbing them of their futures. So we really do need radical action on housing. And I was curious to know the extent to which the government, this minority government, was using the Constitution as an excuse, and also to perhaps think about whether we need to strengthen the Constitution so that we can rely on the Constitution to put a roof over people's heads, a home for good, that every citizen in the country should be able to expect at an affordable level.
Yeah, there's not a week goes by, Colette, on this show that I don't end up talking about the housing crisis, and it's huge. And you mentioned children there, and that's a disgrace. And now people are, there's going to be people out there, and they're going to be saying, okay, this is more criticism of the government. Is it founded or is it unfounded? But this is actually research that you did, and I'm looking here, there's actually some of your findings here, some of the bills that were tried to put through and were defeated. Do you want to mention a couple of them?
Yeah, I mean, there's been, and it's cross-party, so I'm independent, and I don't, fly a flag for any particular party. But if you look at the No Consent, No Sale Bill, a very good bill introduced in good faith by Piers Doherty, he's a Sinn Féin member. It aims to prevent the sale of a mortgage onward by a bank or credit institution without the consent of the borrower. A very sensible proposition.
Yeah.
This was objected very strongly to on the basis of potential harm to the financial sector and constitutional concerns. And obviously we have to protect private property, but we also need to balance that with the common good. And the common good has to be about making sure that in our country that citizens are able to expect that they will be able to put a roof over their heads, a secure home. I mean, you think about this week and last week, children are going back to school. Children need to know what school they'll be in, to think that they might finish out their primary education in the same place that they started it. So these aren't kind of mad pipe dreams. And as you say, every week we hear about people who can't rely on that and can't plan a future. And as I said, we're putting children in jeopardy today, but we're creating huge damage. I mean, who wants to grow up in a hub? We need to do better than that, and we can do better than that as a country. In the 1930s, we were building houses. We weren't anything like as well off as we are as a country now. So we can solve this. Another bill was the Residential Tenancies Prevention of Family Homelessness. This was put forward again by Deputy O'Brien. There was a Labour bill, residential tenancy, about a bill to ensure greater security of tenure and rent certainty. Again, rents, even with the rent control zones, rents are going up and up. And so it's really, really difficult for people to, A, find a place to rent, but even when they find a place to rent, the affordability is huge, and it makes it very difficult for people to save for a mortgage which might lend more security. So at every part of the housing system, it's failing our citizens, and therefore I think it's time to look at the Constitution and to see if the Constitution is actually getting in our way, and how we can get rid of that impediment if we need to.
That particular bill was defeated on the basis that the Attorney General advised it was unconstitutional.
That's right.
And I'm quoting you now. I think you said that if these bills are being defeated, because of the Constitution, then maybe the Constitution needs to be looked at very closely.
Well, either that or that the Attorney General should make the advice that he's giving to ministers to block bills, put it into the public domain. As legislators, when we hear these lines from ministers when they're opposing legislation, and we hear that, you know, the Attorney General's advice was against it, we never see that advice. We don't know what that advice is. It's shrouded in secrecy. So, you know, that's a big concern as well. And certainly if we have to look at the Constitution for better and clearer protections that balances the right to property, which I absolutely uphold, but balance that against social justice and the right of the common good, that citizens of this country should be able to feel that they're able to have a home. We all need a home. We all need to be able to feel that we can put down roots, to send our children to school, to go out to work, to do all of the ordinary things. We need a secure home and an affordable home.
And you mentioned a hub there. You said people don't want to be living in hubs. There's also this co-living thing that's been thrown into the mix as well.
Yeah.
These are temporary situations. They're not solutions.
They're not. I mean, you know, co-living is grand if you're a student.
Yeah.
And it might be grand for a couple of years after you finish, you know, if you're in university or you're, you know, starting out at work. But they're not places you want to live. And they're not long-term solutions. They're about maximising profit. They're about people building these hubs, people building these co-living arrangements, squeezing the maximum number of people into the smallest amount of space, maximising profits. There's no security of tenure. Hundreds of years ago, you know, Michael Davitt fought for security of tenure. It's really important that people have that security of tenure, that they know that the home that they're living in, whether it's owned or rented, is a place that they can rely on to live in, to put down roots, to rear families, and to get on with all the things that are important to us in our lives.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, in back in the day, we were this county council's corporation, as it was known then, were actually building houses, which they don't do anymore. And it does.
Absolutely.
There's housing co-ops out there, or Coolin springs to mind, I've interviewed them. And they've proven that affordable housing can be built.
Of course it can. And there's great, you know, examples from all over the world. For example, Singapore. It's a tiny island, and it's a big population, and it tackles homelessness and housing head on decades ago. And they do two things in Singapore. They build good homes at reasonable costs, but what they also do is they provide cheap mortgages so that people can buy those houses. That's something that I think we could look at, and it seems to be a model that works very, very well. We need to be open to all sorts of radical ideas. The time was, and certainly in rural areas, people could get a county council grant. So if they were able to build a house, particularly in the country, they could apply for a county council grant. So we need to be able to look at the supply of houses, and as you say, groups like Uncoolin show that this can be done. But we also need to be able to look at how people can buy and pay for or rent affordably those houses. And it would seem that any of these more radical measures and these sensible bills, which, you know, when you look at them, they're not that radical, but they're being blocked by a particular interpretation of our Constitution. And if that interpretation has to hold, then I do think that we should consider changing the Constitution to strengthen the right to a house and a home for people. We're not talking about a free house here,
yeah,
but the prospect that we might be able to put roofs over our heads. It's a terrible thing that in a country as rich as ours, that people can't think about that prospect. I bought my first house in London in 1990, just after we had our first daughter, And, you know, it was the pin of our collar, but we were able to just about manage it.
Yeah.
Couples should be able to imagine that that's a prospect for them, so they can put a roof over their heads for their children, whether it's buying or renting with security.
Yeah, now, you mentioned renting there, and I spoke to a local councillor earlier on, and as I said, housing always comes up, the housing thing. And we spoke about people are renting, the rental sector there. There's people and they're trapped in this rental sector. They're paying huge rent, which is more than their mortgage repayment. And the banks won't take that into account, that if they can afford a huge rent, then they can afford a mortgage repayment.
No, I mean, it's like I know somebody who's paying almost 800 a month for a room in a shared house in Dublin. This person is delighted to have it. You know, there was huge kind of competition to find this house. How can a person on kind of an average wage, and the average wage is, I think, 32,000, how can you pay that kind of rent and also save for a mortgage? I don't know how you can do it. And I also know that, for example, in Cork, the Chamber of Commerce regularly surveys its members, and they have successively said that housing is one of the biggest impediments to the growth of employment in the Cork region. So this is a humanitarian issue when you think about children, but it's also an economic issue. Because if people won't be able to recruit people to do the jobs that we need them, the nurses, you know, people in the army are struggling, sleeping in cars. People, you know, even in the Oireachtas, you know, certain administrative grades are not paid that well, and you know, people have a struggle to fill those positions. So, you know, unless we tackle the supply of housing and its affordability and access to credit and security of tenure, this is going to be a major problem and a major block to our growth and development as a country.
Okay, Colette, I know you're in a hurry, so I'm not going to keep you much longer. I just want to go back to the research report. The two bills that were defeated that we spoke about were both Sinn Féin bills. But as you said, you're an independent, you're not waving any flag. There's also a bill introduced by the Labour Party, by Fianna Fáil.
That's right.
Like one of them was the greater security of tenure.
That's right. The mortgage arrears resolution was introduced by Fianna Fáil in July 2017 with the aim of creating an independent mortgage arrears tribunal with powers to make binding orders against the banks and lending institutions, requiring them to restructure a mortgage in a particular way. Richard Boyd Barrett also has introduced legislation. It's across the board. We all know that housing is a major issue for the citizens of our country. Every single one of us will know family, friends and people who are affected by this. We also see the terrible spectacle of people sleeping rough and sleeping out, and that's not just something that we should be concerned about in the run-up to Christmas when we all get a little bit sentimental. There's a real problem, and as I said, a huge problem with children. And as I said, various proposals and measures have been brought forward by Fianna Fáil, by Labour, by Sinn Féin, by the Greens. There was a vacant and derelict site bill brought forward by them, and again blocked. And very often it is the Constitution that is used, and the advice of the AG, which none of us see. So we really do need to look, take a long look at this. I'm joining the Housing Committee on the 18th of September, and I will be a very active member of that Oireachtas Housing Committee, and pressing for looking at the Constitution and other measures as well, so that we can really try to get to grips with this chronic housing crisis that is threatening people's well-being, but also the well-being of the whole country, I believe.
Yeah. Now, as I said, I speak about this practically every week. It's a huge issue, and it's heartbreaking to think that this is going on in our day and age. And you, as a member of the Oireachtas, what are your hopes? What can be done? people are so frustrated, they don't seem to think that there is anything being done. What?
Well, I think there are things that are being done, but I don't think they're the right things, and I don't think there's enough of a kind of a sense of urgency. I mean, obviously, you know, we're all very concerned about Brexit and the impact that that will have, particularly in terms of the border and the peace in the north. But I think the biggest domestic issue that we have is to solve the housing crisis. And, you know, Rebuilding Ireland was an honest attempt by the then Minister for Housing, Simon Coveney, but it's not working. It's not solving things, and it's not going in the right direction. And housing solutions that are framed around hubs, hostels, co-living just aren't good enough. That is not what is needed. And we do absolutely need to get to grips with this and look at all measures necessary, the Constitution, whatever it takes to solve this crisis, because it really is, as you say, you know, people, it's breaking hearts and blighting lives.
Okay, Colette, listen, I know you're in a hurry, and thank you very much for taking my call. Is this report available for people to look at and read? And
it is, if people contact my office, I'll be able to send a copy of it, and I think it's available on Twitter as well. So so people contact my office in the Oireachtas, we'll be able to send them a copy.
That's great. Listen, thank you very much, Colette.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.